At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Have you ever wondered how much of a mess it is for us to record these episodes? Well, wonder no more, because you can come see us record an episode live at the Margaritaville in Nashville, Tennessee, before the inaugural Music City Grand Prix. So join us Thursday, August 5th at 8 p.m. It's located at 322 Broadway, and we cannot wait to see you guys there.
This is Off Track with Hinch and Rossi.
All right. If anybody gets James a sandwich at Margaritaville, I will kill them. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm going to hurt them or, oh, I'm going to be really mad. No, this is me making an explicit threat of death and bodily harm to anybody who gets James a sandwich before the
Margaritaville. Do you want to know it's cool if you hurt someone in Nashville, Tim? You'll be neighbors with me because the bus slot is in the parking lot of the prison.
Oh, there you go.
Hello and welcome to another Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. Man, we're off to a start, guys. First and foremost, I would love a sandwich during the live show. It is
You're going to get
past dinner time
now.
Yeah, it's past dinner time. I'm going to be starving because we're coming from another event straight to Margaritaville to record that. So I personally guarantee the safety of anybody who brings me a sandwich. I think that Tim's threats are empty, void of any credibility whatsoever.
Just like his opinion on Olympic sports.
Well, can we just put our orders in now? Can we just like
that would actually
I'll take a margarita.
I will take whatever sandwiches you guys have. I'm also eating nibs. Just a full circle on the whole nibs, vines, Twizzlers discussion. And Alex,
good. Erasing your workout this morning. Nice.
Correct. Balancing it. It's called yin and yang. Balancing it. Whatever. You come home and smash red vines and sweet tarts and all sorts of jelly bellies. How many jelly bellies do you eat on a race weekend?
A significant amount. but actually not as many as you think, because it takes me so long to find the ones that I like.
That's true. Alex has like a kilogram jar. A massive jar.
It's 5 pounds, James. It's more than a kilogram.
5 pounds? Okay, sorry. 2.2 kilograms or something. And he literally sits through and like we call them COVID beans, because he just sticks his hand in and picks out the ones that he wants and throws the ones he doesn't back in. And he only likes about half the flavors.
20%.
20% of the flavors.
But what's interesting is like you say like it's some gross thing. Everyone else still eats them, so it's not like people are that turned off by the COVID.
Oh, no. They like Jelly Bellies more than they dislike COVID.
Correct.
What are your favorite Jelly Belly things?
Okay. Butter popcorn, number one. Toasted right. Marshmallow, number two. Watermelon, okay. Number three. Lemon lime, number four. Margarita, number five. Number six would be coconut. Number seven would be black licorice. Number eight would be cinnamon. Number nine would be cherry. And 10. 10's a tough one. It depends if it's the Krispy Kreme like edition. So where there's like Krispy Kreme flavors, or if it's the A&W edition, because the root beer one can be good. The Sprite one can be pretty good. But also just the normal traditional donut flavored one, Krispy Kreme flavored donut one is quite good.
What the hell just happened?
I cannot fathom how much of an Alexander Rossi answer that was. That was the most Alexander Rossi thing I have ever. Not only were you able to like cite off any random 10, you had that your 10 flavors in order, including a debate for the 10th flavor.
Yeah.
That's aggressive.
Like, we weren't, this wasn't on the plan to talk about today. We were not going to discuss jelly beans. This, like, jelly I wasn't bellies. Expecting, sorry, jelly bellies. I wasn't expecting this. This is bizarre.
I gotta
this
say,
is not the first time you've done that list, is it?
Here's what I've learned from that list. You are a big citrus guy. It's a lot of fruit flavors in there, right?
Well, there's, I mean, it's hard to find non-fruit flavored jelly bellies. My first
buttered,
two are
buttered
not
popcorn.
Fruit flavored.
Yeah, I would say buttered popcorn. That is, cinnamon.
No, my first two are not citrus.
Root beer. Root
no, I'm
beer.
Saying there's a lot of not citrus flavored or fruit flavored jelly bellies. There's tons.
Mm, that's actually not true.
Let's go through the whole
like,
list because I'm sure you know
like
them all.
There's 50. There's
I feel like we're
flavors.
Out of our depth here.
There's 53 yeah, jelly belly flavors. So do you want okay. me to start listing them?
No, because no. you're just gonna Google them, and I don't. I don't really want to know. But okay,
this all is right. this is like Kilroy's Long Island.
Mm. Yeah. Fair. Is... So buttered popcorn is number one, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, and what was number two? I forget. It was another interesting one.
Toasted marshmallow.
Toasted marshmallow. Okay, so yeah, those. So you like your treats. You like your fruits. Mm-hmm. I like that you like cinnamon. I don't like fake cinnamon flavor as much. Like, I love real cinnamon, but like cinnamon gum or cinnamon jelly beans, I'm kind of have 50-50. Where you lose me is black licorice. That actually,
yeah, that's just an abomination.
Yeah, that tracks because like if you eat black licorice, it means your insides and your soul and your heart are primarily black.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Also, can you just
eat? He's got no, he's like, yeah.
Black licorice is also candy. Like, I don't understand why you're eating candy that tastes like another candy.
It's not candy. It's not candy. It's...
Can't you get black licorice candy?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you can, but licorice, like, yeah. Let's never talk about black licorice flavored anything being candy, because candy insinuates it's nice and friendly and enjoyable and somebody wants to eat it.
I meant purely on the academic sense. I'm on your side in terms of it being an abomination. Yeah. But I'm saying it's available. You could just eat that. You don't need to get another candy that tastes like it.
Yeah, but he wants to eat many different types of candy all in one go. So that's why you get Jelly Bellies, and it's the best of 53 worlds, apparently.
So it's like the Mitch Hepburn joke. It's like, I like rice when I'm hungry and I want to eat 2,000 of something.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Oh, yeah. No, Mitch Hepburn was the best. Good.
Mitch Hepburn is in my top three favorite comedians of all time, and I'm very sad that he's no longer with us.
Yes. What one of the best.
We were talking about Mitch Hedberg the other day, weren't we?
We were talking about Mitch Hedberg in St. Louis. We sure were. Yeah. Yeah. Look at the lines, how they float.
Saved by the buoyancy of citrus.
As escalators temporarily stairs. Sorry for the convenience.
For the convenience.
All right. Well, we could just riff on that all day. And I'm down as soon as we finish the podcast. but no, we wanted to talk about a couple things. I mean, first of all, we want to talk about our upcoming Nashville show.
Yes. So we are going to be in Nashville. For those of you that don't know that, you're an idiot. So we're going to be in Nashville racing this weekend, and we also have a live show
you can't just
Thursday
call our
evening.
Listeners, idiot.
Sure can. I mean,
he did though. He just did.
And we are gonna be having a live show, Rita, Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Gonna be cool. I think we've all spoken to our love of Nashville. James and I have both recently been there and experienced it, and the energy and the liveliness that it is. So, highly encourage everyone that is there or close by to come say hi and bring James a sandwich and annoy the hell out of Tim, because that would really make me happy.
So like, hold on.
Yeah, it's gonna be
fun. I know it's a live show, but does Tim still have to like edit anything?
So yes, it's technically it's called live to tape. Like, we're gonna record it and then I'll edit it and I'll try and put it out.
So because it's live.
We're getting help from Nate Lee. He's gonna help us like do things live. And yeah, Sirius is putting it on. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited.
So because it's live, but then it's still edited, and because we're going to be in a bar, we can say right?
Well, I mean, the people in the bar will still hear you say
right, but they're adults.
Yeah. No, that's fine. So, well, like, I mean, is it going live out on SiriusXM network?
No. Like on the IndyCar channel? I think it'll go up on the IndyCar channel like our episodes usually do, but I don't think it will broadcast live.
Okay, got it.
So even more reason for everybody to be there to witness it in person.
Yeah, I mean, nobody wants to have to listen to it a week later. That's lame.
I mean, we've done some live shows. We've done the Carb Day shows in years past, and they're always so much fun. But I think this one, the addition of alcohol on site is really going to take things up to the next level with the crowd. I'm pretty excited.
We got to give honorable mention to the Pain Tour crew as well. That helped us do live shows in the past.
Oh, yeah. They helped us in Pocono. Yeah, they're the best.
In Pocono, yeah. So we're gonna be doing that. And while we're there, we're going to talk all sorts of stuff, guys. We're going to talk about Nashville. We're going to talk about racing. We're going to recap the week of racing. We're not going to do that today. We're not going to do that today because we're going to do it in 2 days. So instead,
we're going to just end this and stop.
Yeah, we're going to say jelly bellies are neat and have a great day.
I mean, I wouldn't hate that. I had to wake up especially for this.
Oh, it's I'm sorry, and... Tim. Is it 9 a.m. in California?
Yeah, okay. Well, Alex, you're ignoring the commute that I have to get from my bed to this podcast.
14 steps. It's 14
steps. He's in his bed.
It's literally 4.
It's not even 4. You could do that in 2. You're a tall guy.
I had to go downstairs and make coffee first.
That sounds like a you problem.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America. NMLS 407249. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
No, but there has been some sporting things happening that we thought it'd be fun to talk about.
Kind of on a global stage, if you will.
Pretty global scale. They are, of course, called the Olympics. Alex, are you a big Olympics guy? Or the space race? We can talk about the space race. There was a scrubbed launch today, which I'm very upset about.
I am a big Olympics guy. I'm just remembering, James, all of the one-word things that we sent to Tim.
Oh, my God. We should save that. Let's save that for the live show.
Yes, we are going to save it for the live show.
I forgot about that.
There is so much for us to talk about. Which is
but it started with the Olympics.
It started at Cracker Barrel. There. But yes.
Oh, yeah, true. Oh, dude, unrelated. Well, no, totally related. Hold that thought.
What?
Wait, did you buy one?
No, I forgot that a friend of mine gave me one gave me two a couple, like, a lot of years ago. They've been sitting
so
in my
James
office.
James is holding up a wooden triangle with a bunch of, what is it?
Hey,
what is
if you've, like, if you've been to Cracker Barrel, you know.
Yeah, if you've been to Cracker Barrel, you know exactly what I'm holding up. It's a little mind game that Alex and I were playing the other day.
We will discuss
Is that like the redneck version of the marble solitaire game? Like you have to jump the tees to get rid of them?
Why would you classify Cracker Barrel and redneck?
I'm just saying that looks redneck. I'm not saying Cracker Barrel's redneck. I'm saying that specific thing.
It's very un-Californian of you.
Yeah.
I'm saying that specific thing using a bunch of golf tees looks redneck.
No, that's not how it came off. No. It's called ingenuity. That's what that is. It's called recycling, which as a Californian, you should be all about.
Yes.
Right? In Indiana, we apparently don't do it.
I'm from Indiana. I got family from Kentucky. I am a redneck. I'm saying that looks like a redneck thing.
You are far from it. Anyways.
My neck's literally red right now from the sun.
Red from embarrassment. All right. So Olympics. James, I am a big Olympics guy. I'm probably more in tune with the Winter Olympics than I am Summer Olympics. However, I do love my swimming. I do love my gymnastics because America wins. I did watch some archery, which was awesome. Between Korea and the Russian Olympic Committee, it came down to like a shootout, which was wild. What else? I do like some track and field, the shorter stuff. I'm not gonna sit there for 25 minutes and watch people run laps.
Right.
And that's about it.
Okay. A lot to unpack there. Let's start from the top. Why do you identify more with the Winter Olympics than the Summer Olympics?
Because I don't think I can pick a single sport in the Summer Olympics that I am competent at.
This actually brings something up.
Hmm.
We got tweeted at by Savvy P, and he quote tweeted somebody else. He says, "You have 4 years to train and win a bronze in one of these to win $50 million. Which one do you think you could do?" And it's all the Summer Olympic sports. So if you guys had 4 years to train for a Summer Olympic sport, which do you think you could do?
Honestly, like I kind of forgot it was one of them, and I feel bad for saying that, but until you just said it, like probably archery.
Archery?
Like I bet if I had 4 years, steady hand, hand-eye coordination, learn a little bit about it. I love marksmanship. Like I love shooting like trap, shooting skeet. I love target, you know, like practice, whatever. I love that. So like, I would like to be good at that. So maybe that.
Yeah, my go-to is going to be shooting, but yeah. I don't know.
Like skeet?
No, they have like the precision shooting. They have the.
Oh, they do? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Fine. Maybe something like that then.
For me, I would have to think that it would be 4 years. Like you have to think in 4 years, you're going to be able to pick something up. I would.
Yeah, but then you say that, but it's not like these people have only been doing it for 4 years.
No. I understand. I would have to say.
This isn't curling. These are real sports.
I knew you were going to say that.
I would have to say maybe like rowing or kayaking.
Rowing in 4 years?
Why is that hard to believe?
Rowing's an incredibly hard sport.
Yeah, but like he's starting off as an athlete, right? Like you're not starting off from the couch.
No, I'm not. And the only reason I say rowing is because it's all about power output, right? It's not necessarily like you don't necessarily have to have, let me preface this, a technique like you would in
golf
or baseball. Or
all right, so I guess you're sculling. So you're like the one you're on the boat by yourself. You're not saying you're on like an aid.
Well, yeah, it can't be a team thing, right?
Well, then the team just carries you. I also think I don't know if men do this, but I also think I could be quite good at equestrian.
But they do. You do need a lot of technique for rowing just to not flip the boat.
Tim, just because you once rowed.
Yeah, it's like a given technique, right? It's like everybody has to do that technique to row.
Right.
There's no style. There's no unique.
Exactly.
You know, I understand what you're saying.
I'm not gonna pick up skateboarding in 4 years.
I get it now.
Right. It's not driving a race car, which has a very wide berth of styles and ways.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know, I'm going to turn left. I have to hit the turn signal.
I hate everything about every molecule that makes up your physical and spiritual presence.
You guys should put turn signals on because it would be pretty funny.
Okay, so what do you think? There are many winter sports that you could be good at or are good at, or do you just kind of like, I like skiing, so I'm going to be, say, I'm a winter sports guy?
I mean, I think I could be pretty, I mean, again, I don't know. I haven't done it, so I don't know how
bobsled
is into it, but bobsled, right? Skeleton. I think all you these
would do
speed,
skeleton.
All these speed related sports.
Oh, on a skateboard, yeah. Down one of those things.
Oh yeah, but again, growing up skiing, again, mm-hmm. nowhere near, like, I have no right. ability, but like that's something that I learned and had a skill set at.
There's a
before
comfort
I drove
level
race cars.
And right. a familiarity, and yeah,
correct,
understood.
But I would love to do luge, skeleton, bobsled. I think I could. I think
all the fast
speed,
stuff.
The speed things we could be all right at. And obviously, you know, we're going to become professional curlers because Tim says it's the easiest thing in the world. So
for
like,
sure.
we got that going for us.
Yeah, by September.
I have a couple other ones to just add in the mix because I'm thinking about it. One, diving. I feel like in 4 years I could learn how to fall. Anything with the equestrian sports because you're not the one doing it.
Tim, you are so. You
you're
get
doing
defensive
this,
about rowing.
You're doing this specifically
to piss
us off,
do it.
Right? Like you're.
I'm just saying, in the equestrian dressage, is it the person doing the trick?
Yes, it is.
Someone's got to control the horse. The animal has a mind of its own. You have to know how to get it to do what you want it to do when you want it.
I just think it's ridiculous that the person gets the medal and the horse doesn't.
Yeah.
We don't know that the horse doesn't.
Do you think horse racing?
They're not on the podium.
Do you think horse racing is more applicable to the jockey getting the medal?
Yeah,
I think dressage and show jumping is way more challenging than racing a horse.
I feel like definitely in horse racing, the horse should get the medal. If anything, the jockey being on the horse's back is a disadvantage for the horse.
Well, yeah, it's weight. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also the horse isn't going to go without the jockey.
I mean, we don't know. Have we tried it?
Guys, can we please go back to Tim thinking he could dive? He could dive?
I'm going to say, of the Olympic sports.
You know, Tim, there's
supposed to be archery.
Tim, you
I
do
feel like
well.
That would be the one you could pick up in 4 years.
Tim, you know you're supposed to not make a splash, right? That'd be tough for you.
Oh,
you know, you have to pretty much be a... You have to be an Olympic level gymnast to be able to be a diver. That's
I'll
insanity.
Retract diving. I'll retract diving, but definitely any of the horse ones because it's the horse doing the work.
If there was like a floating category, yeah, you could probably kill it in that.
Drinking.
But diving. My goodness.
I'm looking at the list right now. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, the Summer Olympics are hard.
I tripped across an Olympic sport that I did not realize was an Olympic sport. I knew the sport existed. I knew people played this game. I did not know they played it at anything bordering on a professional level. I didn't know it had, for example, its own like court schematics and like a specified size of net, et cetera, et cetera. But handball. Mm. Handball is an Olympic sport. And I was watching a game the other day and it actually looks kind of friggin' awesome. It looks like a mixture of like lacrosse and water polo, but like it's like fast paced and badass.
Water polo
and
looked miserable.
Yeah, well, exactly. It's like water polo, but you don't constantly feel like you're on the brink of death.
Right. yeah. I mean, would you say? I feel like it's kind of a cross between rugby and water polo.
No, it's not as like physical, right? You're not like running into each other and stuff, right? And like the nets seem kind of like a lacrosse net.
Yeah.
But the big difference is there's like a very large crease for the goalie, and you are not allowed to shoot
a box,
the area around the net. Yeah, right. It's like a semicircle around the net that you can't go into, right?
Yeah, yeah. The goalie box.
So, yeah, it's called crease.
But sure isn't.
Yep. It sure is. I mean, the net is closer to a goalie box if we're going to be specific about it. Anyway, well, it's box shaped and the goalie stands in front of it, goalie box. So inside the crease, which is fairly large, like if you look at an NHL crease, you know what I'm talking about?
The dumbest argument part we've ever had.
Anyway, you can't shoot from inside the crease if your foot's inside the crease, but you can like dive over the crease line and launch the ball in the air.
Love that.
And so like, yeah, like these, I was watching this, I forget what teams it was, but it was women's handball. And these girls were running and like launching themselves full, like Bruce Willis flying through the air sideways, firing two guns, you know, sort of look and hucking this ball. And you can like bounce it off the ground into the net. And it was actually like really cool, high scoring, fast paced game. You had to commit.
I want to know where you become a professional handballer. Is that like a collegiate?
That's what I'm saying.
Sport?
Like, it's got. I don't know. I don't know where they play. Like how? Like where are their teams? Because
I've heard about it as like a backyard game.
Exactly. That's like what I'm saying. Ball. Right. I didn't know there was like a specific court with specific specifications on size and creases and goalie boxes or whatever you call them. Yeah, anyway, that's a sport I've discovered and I thought it was cool.
Do you know it's been going on since 2008?
No.
A lot.
What'd you say?
A lot. I mean, we had
a bunch of things.
Black president,
global recession.
A couple of them, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I was just no.
Oh, you meant specifically in the
handball? Handball has been happening since 2008.
Oh, I thought you said, "Do you know what's been happening since 2008?"
No, sorry.
I thought you were asking us for an update on the last 13 years.
See, so here's the thing, right? So we have been, and maybe they do this. I don't know.
Never Tim mind. 1936.
There we go. That sounds more interesting.
But then
it doesn't feel like a big leap for handball to be invented, right?
But what's interesting is
I'm not good at the feet version. What if we just grabbed it?
No, so okay. In 1936, it debuted in Berlin, but it was dropped. At the 1952 Olympics, it existed as only a demonstration, so there was no like medals awarded. And then it was brought back in 72. So it's had some ups and downs. So like us, people are confused about what it is.
Fair.
And it survives for a little bit, and then people are like, well, where do I become a handballist? And then it dies.
But that kind of brings up a point that I wanted to talk about was how do they deter we keep adding sports, right? Like in our lifetime, surfing. They've added surfing, BMXing, snowcross, you know, like whatever.
There's always a debate some people have talked about wanting to add esports to the Olympics. Which I think is just ridiculous.
I don't hate that, actually. Because again, I don't.
The only issue I have with it is, and I hate saying this about anything just because of how much we get it, but like that's not an athletic sport, right? Like it doesn't fall into the group of athletics.
Neither is archery. It's not.
Yeah, I see.
It's mental. It's hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
There's an elite. There's something that makes people elite at it.
Yeah.
It has just as much of a right to be there as archery.
Yep. All right. Fair. I'll take that. Esports. Give it up. But this is what I'm saying is, do we adapt the Olympics for modern times? Because if that's the case, there are some other things that should probably fall off. Like, I want to know how many sports have disappeared out of the Olympics in the last 100 years and what they are. Because like I was watching, respectfully, I'm not trying to ruffle any feathers here, but I was watching some velodrome racing the other day, and I'm just like, why? Why are we doing this? This is, nobody rides single speed bikes around tiny little.
Awesome.
It's not. It's not. like proper cycling. It's not. It really isn't. And then like, it was like the 4-person one. And so like every lap they swap and like the front guy goes to the back. I'm like, that's cool. And then with like 2 laps to go, one of the guys just stops. And then there's 3 only going. And I'm like, I don't understand why this is a thing. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's no different than the tour, dude. People pull you along and then stop.
Yeah, but like this is a 5-lap race and there's only 4 people.
They're putting out 800 watts.
No, I understand that. But then who's the guy that's like, yeah, I'll stop after 3. Sweet. Like,
the dude that's getting still paid to be there.
No, I'm saying you'd want to do that. I'd want to be the guy that did less work and still got the gold.
Probably not hard.
I don't know. I don't see a lot of velodromes around these days, and so it
There's
just
one
seems
in
like
Indianapolis off 465.
I know that's
and they
what,
have
it's
races
off 65.
65, yeah. And they have races in the evening during the summer.
I've never seen that. I've never seen anybody on it.
Yeah,
I've always wanted to take a go kart around it.
I want to try a single speed bike around it. Quite honestly,
do you really? I don't like cycling in general, so maybe I'm a bad judge of this. But there's just certain ones that I wonder, why was pole vaulting invented?
I want to go there, but over that.
Why was shot put invented?
Like, I get that throwing something heavy, right?
Like, javelin both feel like they have like solid ties to the original ancient Greek Olympics. Like,
correct.
I want to make this go as far as I can.
Right, hammer throw is the one that I find a little weird. Less practical application for that, but like again, it's still kind of one of the OG ones. But I totally get why shot put and javelin.
Long jump.
Yeah, they want to see how far a human being can jump. Like that. That
okay,
makes
so they
sense.
They
want to
see
me.
How high a human being can vault.
Right, but like they've got high jump. Like, who was the guy that was like, all right, let's take this, how big is it, 13-foot pole? Or like where did they come up with this? Let's make it super flexy.
Like it was
we'll
probably,
jam it in the ground.
I feel like it probably had to do with, like, war. Like, they used it to get over walls, and they're like, I wonder who's the best at getting over those walls.
Yeah. That actually is, like, the best theory I've thought of or heard of. How did pole vaulting start? Wow, that's a very common search, apparently.
I know, like, rowing, it was competitions between taxis that would take people across the Thames, and they would race to see who was the fastest water taxi, and then that became more of a competition, and that, like, a lot of those sports do have a practical start.
Handball.
Okay, here we go.
Which is how we got on.
Right, but handball is just as fun to watch.
I mean, yeah, it's like any ball score sport.
It's the Dutch.
Just like a battle
it's the
stimulation.
Dutch. The Dutch started it.
Of course they did.
Yep. Poles were used as a practical means of passing over natural obstacles in marshy places such as the province of Friesland in the Netherlands along the North Sea.
No, I'm half Dutch, but that's the most Dutch thing I've ever heard.
It's the Dutchiest thing.
Yeah, like, well, we got all these little rivers, so let's just...
here's a question for you. Because I'm thinking about it based on Tim's logic, however flawed it may be, but it still he has a point to it. So horse racing, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's actual racing in the Derby or it's show jumping, barrel racing, dressage in the Olympics, you are to a certain extent at the mercy of a horse. Okay. Yes, the jockey. Obviously, there's a huge amount of talent and training and everything that goes into that. My mom rode horses. I get that. I understand that. But still, there's an external non-human factor that is contributing to the result. So based on that logic, why is motorsports? I'm not saying open wheel racing. I'm just saying, why is there no form of motorsports?
You can take that a step further and just say like cycling. You can't argue there's not a huge potential difference in the equipment from one team to the other, right? Like these bike manufacturers spend millions of dollars in wind tunnels and lightning components and this, that, and the other. So I'm with you on the motorsport
side
of things.
There's a lot of human element, I think, that exists in cycling than potentially in motorsports.
I saw somebody making this argument online that auto racing should be in the Olympics. And at first I dismissed it as just kind of ridiculous, but Alex, that's a really good point. Like the horse is the main means of force or of transportation there. So how is that different than a car?
And the argument has always been, well, it's impossible to have equal equipment. So you're not,
yeah, but
it's
impossible to have an equal equipment with horses or bikes.
That's your point. Yeah.
I mean, they spend tons of money developing like the best swimsuit for less friction and all that.
I see what you mean about the bike because the bike is still powered by the human, whereas the horse is powered by itself and the human's role is to manipulate and control the horse in a given way, which is essentially what
if you had to build 60 different engines, it's going to be very difficult.
right,
to have them exist, because there's always a, oh, they're within the 2% tolerance, but like,
so then, but then you'd have to let countries design their own engines.
Okay, well then that yeah, becomes, but then that becomes the issue with the Olympics, and it's not supposed to be for money.
Well, exactly. And that's yeah. that just becomes a spending war. So it could kind of make sense, right? Like, if you're breeding your own horses, yeah, you're breeding your own horses. Nobody, even though they're spending millions of dollars doing that, it's
still a horse.
It's still, yeah, it's not the same as trying to build an engine.
But I bet there is horses that are 3% faster than other horses.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But maybe that's why there isn't horse racing in the Olympics.
But that's why, yeah, maybe. But that's also why in horse racing, the owner gets the prize money, not the jockey. Because the owner is the one spending the money to, you know, the jockey gets a portion of it, I'm sure. But like,
yeah, I'm sure you guys can't relate to that at all with auto racing.
No, it's very familiar.
Before we check out on our Olympic episode, which has been way more entertaining than I thought it was going to be. Also, we should start a game of handball in Indy here. Simone Biles. Popular topic. Difficult situation. What's your take on what happened? Although I just saw she's now getting back in to one of the individual contests.
No, she just, this morning she got bronze. She went back and did balance beam. And that was, that was the final event that existed for individual competition. And I guess she wanted to end doing something. Very difficult one to judge on. Obviously, we're getting a very removed view of what happened.
Microscopic view of the real story.
And I see both sides of it. The only area where I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt, not the only area, but the main area where I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt is if she truly felt like she had lost the ability, then you could kill yourself flipping through the air and landing on your neck. Absolutely. Or break your leg or ankle or arm.
Yeah,
or
you
anything.
Could ruin your quality of life moving forward.
Forever. So I understand and get that decision. And that is where I'm going to end.
Yeah.
How about you, James?
Well, same. I mean, what was hard for me was at first they didn't really talk about the physiological issue that she was having. They kind of made it just seem like, you know, she didn't like the pressure or whatever. But then this, I started reading a lot about this. This word came up, the twisties, right? Which is apparently a very real and very known thing in the gymnastics world where, yeah, it's almost like vertigo in the air and you quite literally lose track of where you are. And as you say, Alex, you're doing three flips and two somersaults and this, that, the other, traveling at, 15 miles an hour. If you get that landing wrong, yeah, you're breaking legs, blown out knees, breaking necks, you just don't know. So again, we know 1/100th of 1% of the story and of what's going on and what's happening in her life and whatever. On one hand, yeah, I mean, could you imagine the pressure to not step down, to like fight through it? I mean, you're an athlete, the amount of pressure that we're all under to perform and go do our job and this, that, and the other, the amount of pressure that was on Simone Biles of all people, a tough thing for any other athlete to understand. So to like actually make the conscious decision that like, yeah, hey, this is what's best for me. And this is what I think I have to do. Like, that's a hard thing to do regardless of what your motivation was or why you felt like you needed to do it. The fact that she was able to actually say that and step away, like, that's hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, one time I bailed on watching Ted Lasso with Alex because I wasn't in the right headspace. So I think it's safe to say I know exactly what she's going through.
Sounds about right.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't watched
Ted Lasso yet. Obviously, Kenny and I very much respect her.
I haven't watched season two yet. Season two. Have you watched it yet?
It's 1 week at a time.
Oh, how did we used to watch every show like that, by the way? I feel so weird waiting a week to see.
I love it. I wish that every Netflix and Hulu and Apple Plus show did that because it's just self-regulating.
Agreed.
Go to hell.
Well, I'm sorry, Tim. The rest of us have lives and jobs and we leave our homes.
Well, you know what? Apology accepted, but don't let it happen again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been actually a better episode than I thought. And I hope that we have stuff to talk to you about in person on Thursday. But if we don't, then we're just going to ridicule Tim for 45 minutes. So it's going to be great either way.
Yay. Margaritaville, 8 p.m.
Nashville.
Thanks so much for listening to Off Track with Hinch and Rossi. Keep in contact with us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is at AskOffTrack. Or you can follow us individually. We're at Hinchtown and at Alexander Rossi. If you want to follow Thim, though we have no idea why you would, he's at the Tim Durham. We really need to get that changed to add producer Thim. The music you heard today is by Ryan Dan of Holland Patton Public Library. Off Track with Hinch and Rossi is produced by Tim Durham. And by that I mean Thim.
At Rural First, we're the leader in rural construction loans because we don't work here. We work out here. We live rural, which means we know just what you need to build rural. Our dedicated team of loan specialists works with you throughout the construction process. And with our digital tool, you can manage your project all in one place. That's how Rural First gets you closer to what matters. Rural First is a registered trademark of Farm Credit Mid-America, NMLS 407249, Equal Housing Lender, loan subject to approval and eligibility. Other terms and conditions may apply. Visit ruralfirst.com for more details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.